say a lot, Broderick. God told me, but I know this one for sure. God told me to preach all five, and Matthew long-winded, kind of like me, so I can't preach all five and five Sundays. It's going to take us a while, which is good. It's going to take us a while to tease out every verse and every sermon that Jesus preaches and teaches in Matthew. We're now in the Savior's second sermon. The Savior's second sermon is in Matthew chapter 10. We have come upon Matthew chapter 10. We're about to deal with Matthew's chapter, verses 14, 15, and 16. In Matthew 15, he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to give you, as they had to give Two Live Crew back in the 90s. Come on, we're my 90s babies. On July 13th, 1990, they started putting stickers on Two Live Crew CDs with a parental advisory. And anytime I deal with adult subjects, I like to give parents an option, especially if your child is under the age of 13. Because this ain't going to be Disney Plus this morning. I've got to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. And it has a very adult context to it. And all of you know the way that I describe and bring about context and the tension in the text. I do it with a lot of detail for me to make you understand the context of the text. I've got to deal with the details that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, I ain't got no filter. So go ahead and tell your children, are we doing 12 noon? We're having 12 noon virtual children's church service. So and it's up to you. I just like to let parents know what's about to go down. And if your child under 13, you're going to have to answer some questions after this sermon. So that's up to you right now. I just warn you. It ain't me. It's the text. But I've got to deal with the text the way that the text is going to ask me to deal with it. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter 10. Again, turn with us to Matthew chapter 10. Again, if you believe that your child is not ready to deal with some adult themes and subjects, send them on back to their room and come back at 12 noon. The King James Version declares, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. If you've got a good Bible or a good app, these words are in red. These are not my words and not my topic. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You ready? You got my back? You praying for me? I've got to preach this subject, when grace is raped. When grace is raped. verse 15 says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Again, when grace is raped. My brothers and my sisters, if you've been traveling with us the last couple of weeks, you know, again, we've been preaching the five discourses in the book of Matthew. We first began in chapter 5 where he preaches the Beatitudes on the Mount of the Beatitudes. And now we're in chapter 10. We begin in chapter 10 with what we call the Little Commission, when Jesus gives his new 12 disciples a commission. He tells them three things that he wants them to do. The first thing he tells them that he wants them to do is to go preach the gospel that the kingdom has come. Go preach this gospel, this word that I'm here, that the Messiah that the prophets taught you about in the Old Testament has now been fulfilled with my presence and my existence, that grace and mercy has come to the world. I want you again to preach this and to teach this first to the children of Israel, to those of us who are of Jewish ancestry. But first of all, not because we're not going to preach this to Gentiles, we're not going to preach this to the world, we're not going to quarantine it just for ourselves, but in other words, we need to get our house in order first. And I need to make sure that you, the people of God, who claim to be the people of God, who represent the people of God, understand what God has done before we can teach it and make other people believe. I got to make it first sure that you believe that I am who I say that I am. He says, "I also want you, Chavez, to possess every power that I have. If I have the power to heal, you've got the power to heal. If I've got the power to deliver, you've got the power to deliver. If I've got the power to set free, you've got the power to set free. Whatever I have in my possession, you have it in your possession too. And I want you to go out with the strength and the confidence of knowing I've got your back." And then he says, "Pack light." Don't pack light back to Chris. Don't take three bags on one night trip. Pack light. You don't need but one coat because you're going to look one way or one coat at a time. You don't need no staff because everybody will know you represent me. You're not representing David Shepherd. I am. I am the shepherd right now. You are going out representing me, so you don't need to take a lot of stuff because I promise you that in every city, in every town, you go into preaching my name and preaching that the kingdom would come, preaching that Messiah is here. Even though John will raise the query, should we ask for another, they will know by their spirit that you have come in the name of the Lord. And they will know that you are God's child. You are the Messiah's representative. And so they will bring you into that house and take care of you. That's why you don't need a lot. You don't need your debit card. You don't need your credit card. You don't need no cash app. You got my name." And I have to have some few witnesses up in here that knows that when you have my name, everything will be provided unto you. And if you get to a city where the people ain't nice, where the people don't accept you as my representative, don't get upset. Don't get mad. Don't cuss. Shake the dust off your feet. It reminded you last week, at least, that these two little witnesses, you know, when they knock on your door and y'all be hiding behind your couch in your own house, you don't open up the door. They don't get back in their car and go home. They go home to the next camp with somebody. They go home to the next house. They don't let one closed door, one mean, nasty person who don't invite them in for grits and eggs, stop them from doing what Jehovah has asked them to do and be a witness for their God. Because every closed door, all that is a really an opening to your destiny. And I should have another witness up in here that they had some closed doors in your life. You didn't get the promotion. You didn't get the job. He turned away from you. He went to another town. But you've been blessed. Help me, somebody. Somebody come home now, wherever you are right now. Because God turned the door, closed the door in your life. It looked like a closed door, but it was actually an opening to your destiny. And he says, "Shake the dust off your feet
says, keep it moving. Says that city will be judged worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Am I in the Bible? He says that city will be judged worse. Now the question I have to raise before the Spirit, not can anything be worse than being destroyed? How can anything, y'all, be worse? Ain't that a good word? Be worse than being destroyed. But for us to understand how it can be worse than what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah, I have to remind you what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You got your big bands on? You got your big bands on? Genesis chapter 19. Once more. The two angels arrived at Sodom and Eve. Lot was sitting. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, making bread without yeast, and they ate. Here it is. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from the city, somebody say all the men, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. Jesus says that the judgment of those cities will be worse than the judgment of Sodom. Sisters, I have labored deeply in this word, trying to understand, first of all, how can anything be worse than being destroyed? Well, what's worse than having your city destroyed is having your soul destroyed. But then I've also struggled with our contemporary understanding of sodomy versus biblical, cradle, understanding of sodomy. He says, really, in Genesis 19, that these cities were destroyed not because of just a homosexual rape. They were destroyed because of any sexual impropriety and unrighteousness. The word sodomy, as we understand it with regard to homosexuality, does not come about to play into the 11th century after death. In the biblical times when he's writing in Genesis, he is talking about any sex that does not have creative value. So any sex that happens outside the confines of a marriage. And so to all of us who have had premarital sex, all of us are biblical sodomites. Saying that this city was so perverse that when two men is this? Is this physical rape or is this spiritual rape? If it is physical rape, it means that they actually engage in physical sexual activity with something that is an abomination before the Lord. That they took advantage, because when someone is raped, someone takes advantage of you and they steal something from you that don't belong to them. You know, I'm about to conjure up something. I apologize if you have ever been a victim, but someone took advantage of you. Somebody traumatized you. Somebody took something from you that did not belong to you. And what happens is that it leaves trauma. And so what he's saying is that in a physical rape, there's something that has been stolen from you that you cannot get back, and it leads to trauma. So if these men will physically rape these two angels, and angels are messengers of God, angels either come in the form of the physical, but they can also come in the form of the spiritual. But yes, you can have a physical angel who is a messenger of God who shows up and tells you that, because I've got a physical angel. Erica is one of my physical angels. Ron Best is one of my physical angels. Tina Nicklin is one of my physical angels that calls me, talks to me. I can see them and they bring me a message from the Lord. But they are also spiritual angels that are invisible. Said, you're going to conceive a child without a man and without even seeing the angel. She said, yes, Lord. And so this could be spiritual rape, where these men have taken advantage of God's grace and mercy. Where you get that from, Pastor? I get it in the context of chapter 18. You cannot one scripture to condemn my brothers and my sisters who are just in that sin of homosexuality, when truth be told, all of us, it's almost cliff. All of us. I said all of us. It might be your sin, but you got one we just might not know about. All of us have come short of the glory of God, and this sodomy ain't just about. It's about all of us. Outside the confines of marriage. And when he said, all the men have done it, it's got to just be beyond one person's individual sin. The spiritual sin is this: they have raped God's grace and his mercy. Chapter 18. Abraham has a conversation with God. God says, Abraham, I love you so much that I'm going to tell you what's about to happen at the end of the book, even before the book began. Let me tell you what I'm about to do so you're not confused, you're not mad, you understand what I'm about to do. I had heard that there's a problem going down in Sodom and Gomorrah. People that had told me, they done emailed me, they done text me, they even seen me, sent me some pictures of what's going down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't believe, Abraham, everything I hear. And have been text. I don't believe everything I see on Twitter and Instagram. So God said, Prito, I'm going to go down myself. And when he goes down himself, he sees it for himself. That's why you can't believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you read. You've got to go see something for yourself. And when he goes and sees it for himself, he says, oh no! You can't put up with this. I'm going to destroy the city. Follow the word. Abraham says, wait a minute, God. You going to do it again? You going to destroy us again? Well, God, let me be an agent for the people of God. Let me be a spokesperson for the sinners. Can I get one that needs a spokesperson? Can I get two that need a spokesperson? Let me be a spokesperson for the sinners. How about if we find 50? He says, if you can find 50, I'll spare them. How about if we find 40? Yeah, if you find 40, I'll spare them. How about if we find 30? Yeah, if you find 30, I'll spare them. How about if we find 20? Yeah, if you find 20, I'll spare them. How about if we find 10? Yeah, if you find 10, I'll spare them. But what I know is that he destroyed. grace and his mercy. He was going to give us mercy in chapter 18. But we kept doing it. Oh, we. God ain't going to let you take advantage of his loving kindness and his tender mercy. I don't care who you is. I don't care who you are and who you think you're going to be. You cannot reap God's grace without having some consequences. So he says, don't frustrate my grace. That is why I'm concerned, with the soul cliff of these so-called evangelicals. These so-called Christian evangelicals. Who take a blind eye to the chief sinner and the chief liar. Because the last time you checked, thou shalt not lie. Not only is it a sin, but it's in the top 10. It's number 9. How do you defend the Antichrist who has been sent to the earth to cause confusion and lie to the people, Hazel, about the greatest pandemic we've ever seen? To minimize people's lives. That is an abomination before the Lord. Not only just the lie, we already know he done coveted and cheated and done almost everything else in the top 10, but these so-called good Christians turn a blind eye to him and support him blindly. Oh, but let me know what the number 9 means in biblical numerology. It means finality. It means it's almost over. Pregnancy, your 9th month is your last month. Thou shalt not lie is number 9. Maybe the one who's doing number 9 will find his finality in a few more months. And they turn a blind eye based upon these two fundamental platforms of their evangelicals are pro-life and pro-nationalism. Pro-life, I mean the word pro-nationalism. That they are more concerned, pray little, about life before birth than they are about life after birth. They're pro-life. They're anti-abortion. They hang their whole hearts on that one tree, and then on the tree another limb of nationalism, just protecting America and the white European Anglo-Saxon members of America and don't want nobody else to come to America. Let somebody remind them we ain't had to come here no how. But we here, and you can't do nothing about it right about now. But they pro-life. They are for life before birth. But they ain't about life after birth. If you're really pro-life, you pro Trayvon Martin. You're pro Eric Garner. You're pro Breonna Taylor. If you're really pro life, you should respect life at all times. If you're really an evangelical, like you say, you should be the first one out there marching to defend our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is fair, sane morality. Says, I can't stand that because you're raping my grace and raping my mercy. The same grace that I granted to your forefathers, the same grace I surrendered and gave to your so-called founders, is the same grace that I have given to anybody, no matter their color, their creed, their sexual orientation, that loves me and loves my son, Jesus Christ. I thought I was going to get a witness on that. I thought I was going to get a praise on that. Because God sees no respect of person. He doesn't see your sin as big sin or little sin. God sees you as a human being. And he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know what Bible these evangelicals are reading. Because my Bible says he sees neither Greek nor Jew. And my Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My Bible says that he would never leave us. Say us, not you. some water. Check this. Oh, Dr. Moses, I don't know where the best green grass is to eat, so I'm going to follow my shepherd. Check this. Oh, Dr. Moses, I don't know how to beat my moods. I don't know how to raise my kids. I don't know how to handle this issue. I don't know how to deal with that depression. So I'm smart enough to know that I'm going to follow my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green grass. He made me beside a still water. He restored my soul. It's smart enough to know to follow the shepherd. He says, I'm going to send you out like that. But follow me at all times. And then he says, this real thing here, really got connected to Erica. Had to tease this thing down and had the spirit and wrestle with him like Jacob. He says, but I want you to be wise as a serpent. Here Jesus is, the Lamb of God, who was with God when he took the serpent's legs. And knows that we fight every day against the serpent. Why would he say, I want y'all to be wise like the one we done defeated and the one we'll fight with at the end? He says, there's one quality, though, I want you to take from a serpent. Come on with me now. He says, there's one quality I want you to take from a serpent. Serpents know when stuff about to go down. See, snakes just don't bite you because you walk by. Snakes have to be provoked. And they know when something just don't feel right. They know when stuff about to pop off. They have a sixth sense about themselves that they're not in an uncomfortable environment. So I need you to know when you're around evil people, because dirt knows dirt. I need you to know before he even raises his head that if you get too close, he gonna bite you. And all of us need to have that sixth sense, that discernment, when you know a Negro about to start something. I want you to be that wise to know when you are being provoked, and then you need to know how to learn how to hold your peace. Because you know the devil is just trying to provoke you and get you off what God has got you going. Come on in here, somebody. You need to know when it's the devil trying to block you from all the blessings God has in your life. And I need to declare unto somebody, I shall not be provoked. I shall not be cut off. I shall not be detoured. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. And then finally he says, not only do I want you to be wise as the serpent, he says, I want you to be harmless as a dove. It seems counterintuitive. One sentence, be a serpent. And then the next sentence, be a dove. He says, but I'm sending you out in my name. I'm sending you out as my representative. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to listen to you. Everybody is not going to agree with you. Every home and every environment is not going to be comfortable to you. The word of the Lord is also this. It ain't the people in the house that are going to make you uncomfortable. Your spirit is going to be uncomfortable. Because if you have the discernment of the serpent, you know when you're around. And so what he says is, don't you act like a devil. You need to act like a dove. And he says, you act like a dove and you leave that place. Pray, Lord, he didn't say you vote to pass down. If you ain't comfortable, you leave. Let the devils enjoy their devilment. You leave. If you ain't at peace, you leave. Because he says when you leave, the peace will leave, but the peace will go with you. And I don't know if there's anybody in here under the sound of my voice who's been listening to me, who's out there in radio, TV land, that
dwells in him. And it dwells in him. And it dwells in him. And it dwells in him. Someday I'm on it. When this life is over, I got to fly away. I heard a songwriter said he's got two wings covering my face. Two wings. I won't go home today, but I just feel something in my spirit that covered my feet. And two wings.